Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome to our very first show. My name is Almeen, and I am delighted to meet our new listening audience, and those who are already familiar friends, welcome again. And so tonight we have a few topics prepared for you, and the format of the show is a little different than what perhaps some of the other hosts may be doing, but what I am going to be doing during these hours that we share together is to answer those questions that come over our email list. So if you too want to ask questions that you wish us to address, please make sure that you sign up on our email list and mail it into our office. And my website is www.spiritualjourneys, all one word, N-E-Y-S at the end, .com. And on our website, you can certainly find the way to sign up for our email list, and we do try and send you every week to 10 days a detailed question and answer that is in addition to what we're going to be answering on these shows. Well, let's begin with one of the most popular of the questions that keep coming our way, because folks are starting to get a little nervous about 2012, and a lot of light workers are well-meaning, I'm sure, but they are riding on this wave of enthusiasm over knowing about 2012. And so let's take a look at 2012, but to be able to do that and answer your question, how about 2012? Is preparation necessary? How bad is it going to be? How much preparation do we actually need? In order to answer that, we have to start in 2005. At the beginning of 2005, I, like many other spiritual teachers, had seen multiple visions and had many prophecies that did not actually bode well for the future of the planet. I had prophesied that in 2005 there would be the start of a seven-year travail period that multiple scriptures and prophecies had been speaking about. I had seen a problem with a comet coming. I had definitely seen problems with worldwide famine. I had seen possibilities of a bomb going off in Jerusalem. And I had also seen that there could be widespread panic as there is a increased global warming and melting off of the polar caps at that time. The famine was of grave concern, but more so was World War III that I had at that time predicted would occur in 2011. Well, in 2008, I had seen that a treaty would be signed and broken and that an explosive device would in fact go off in Jerusalem, setting off tremendous hostilities in the Middle East, with world powers jumping in at the same time. Now, where are all these prophecies, and where are we going with them? Well, something quite extraordinary happened in the beginning of 2005 that changed all of this and has made me very much mistaken about the prophecies that were in fact a reality that I saw throughout 2004. And so my brothers and sisters, my light family that has joined me this hour, I want to share with you what happened at the beginning of 2005 and how my prophecies changed altogether. At the beginning of 2005, I had a tremendous vision. I was alone in my home at the time. My little girl that I had adopted was not with me. And suddenly, I was no longer in my home. But I found myself standing in front of a being of such magnificence. And as I peered through the dense, dense light surrounding this being, I could see that it was a woman's form. That's all I knew. It happened on the 5th of January, 2005. I knew that tremendous love was emanating from this being, and that such a benign feeling of peace and bliss suffused my entire being that I wanted to stay there forever. But it was not to be. The next few moments, and I was back in my home again. Nothing was said or nothing was spoken, or if it was, I couldn't hear it. On the 20th of that month, I had, in fact, the second occasion on which I found myself again lifted out of my home and standing in front of the ascended masters of our planet, those men and women who had overcome all things while yet in the flesh, which is ascension, yea, even the last enemy, which is death, to quote the scriptures. And they had overcome it, and they were the ones that we know of as the Brotherhood of White Light. They were from all different races, and I was called before them in a round council chamber, the floor of which was crystal through which the earth could be viewed. It is the equivalent of a large seer stone, referred to in the five first books of the Bible known as the Pentateuch as the Urim and Thummim, the breastplates of the Levite priests. They were nothing more than seer stones. And we can on another program perhaps delve into that and see exactly what that is. But I stood there and they asked me one question only. They said, state your purpose. And not really being prepared to suddenly be lifted out of my kitchen and find myself in front of the Brotherhood of White Light, I stated the purpose of that realm that I had been living in as a Toltec Nagual, which is a form of mysticism that is dedicated to impeccability and setting oneself and others free from illusion. I told them simply that it was my absolute destiny and purpose to set myself and others free from illusion. And then I was back again. On the 31st of January of 2005, going into the early morning hours of the 1st of February, I was yet again called in front of the being that was female. Now, my light family, up until that time, I had no idea that we had a mother in heaven. If I'd thought about it, it would have made sense to me that the birthing of creation comes through something that expresses primarily as female. But the infinite being, being both male and female, and expressing as the feminine, was what I encountered at that moment. I was pulled before her and she gave me an assignment. She told me to gather the leadership for the new golden age to come, that holy cities would be established all over the earth, and that the first one would be above the North American continent. The first one started to take form in 2005. But a week ago, another 15 formed, worldwide, one above Johannesburg, one above Jerusalem, one above Toronto, one above Dublin, and so forth. And she told me that I was to get ready the leadership that would be governing the earth from this holy city eventually, as it became visible to the eyes of man. She also told me that I would be working with those who would be led and guided to work with me on this journey that I loosely call my classes, but that she would give us assignments each time, and that it was our task to open the membranes between the realms that would allow the earth to move through. If realms and the membranes between them are not opened in an orderly manner, what happens is the membrane tears, and chaotically creation spills through in a big bang of sorts. but that is dissension. And so the prophecy that was seen in Ezekiel about the wheels within the wheels began. And I was given the information to construct these massive wheels within wheels with thousands of symbols in them representing all the races that would move from one realm to the next. I worked in those days with thousands of angels. I had to learn how to write and speak their languages, how to say their names. And in my books, I have given glossaries of these angels simply because as the earth ascended, with the exception of a few archangels like Metatron and Michael and so forth, many of our angelic hosts have gone back into the sea of consciousness and emerged higher as a whole new angel with a new purpose. And so to know these new angels, I have written them down to some very minor extent. But they are to be found in my books, and the description of those are on our website. So, to start then with 2012, from that time on, the earth started to raise very, very rapidly. And time is not the same in higher realms. Since then, it has been synchronized, but then it was not. So as we raised from realm to realm, while all of the cosmos was aware of this, other than humankind, who is the densest of all creations, but a most magnificent archetype of the macrocosm. And so at that time, as we rose in consciousness, time sped up. And in fact, we passed 2011, and you know, a month before that, preparation had begun to avert that Third World War that I saw. So it was averted. We passed 2011 in August of 2005. And in October of 2005, we actually entered the year 2012. Time had sped up. We had raised and raised in consciousness. Now, where does it go from there? We'll talk about that, but let's just take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back right after this.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back as we take a little look at what has happened to all those doomsday prophecies of 2012. And why is it that we still have cataclysms, like what has just happened in China, for example? Why is it that those things are still occurring if we actually have ascended? Those are some of the queries that have come in through our email list, and I will now attempt to answer it. Let us take a look at what occurs when ascension takes place to a probable prophecy, and why it is so impossible for any light worker to give prophecies right now. You see, my brothers and sisters of light, I regularly make myself wrong. I write a book that is the absolute cutting edge of information because I write it day by day as it happens right with before my eyes. And as the masters that are in my classes and I work together side by side to bring about this work that Mother has assigned me, which is as a gatekeeper for these ascension levels that we are going in between. As that happens, the following might occur. Let us say, for example, that one day it is the probable future that the next day there would be some heinous conspiracy, for example. But during the night, a major change occurs in the cosmos, and we can certainly take a look at how you yourself can help bring about these changes that allows the cosmos to fluidly and rapidly move up in consciousness. But let's say that that happens in the night. By the next day, it's no longer a conspiracy. By the next day, it is, in fact, a collaboration. And should it move up yet again, it becomes a strong bond with a common purpose. If it moves up yet again, it becomes a strong bond with a common purpose who works together with one heart. So you can see that in 3 or 4 days' time, one single solitary prophecy would already have changed. 30 years ago, somebody like Professor Hertak, who, you know, wrote very accurately at the time about the massive transformation that the Earth would be going through, prophesying about its ascension and what it would be like when it ascended up. If you take a look at the Tree of Life, it has basically 4 triangles, or if you join them a little bit differently, it looks like 4 vertical diamonds. Well, he prophesied what would happen when the Earth moved into a null zone with no electromagnetic fields, which would have occurred had the Earth moved upward from the material levels of life into the etheric the way it was foreseen. That was an accurate prophecy. It spoke about how the Earth would tilt, there would be, you know, nothing basically able to survive on the crust of the Earth but a handful, and so forth. That was a very accurate prophecy. But the infinite being did in fact have other plans. Foreseeing that mass destruction does not assist in ascension, because destruction on a massive scale globally will in fact drain people of consciousness by causing a loss of energy, which is due to shock. If, on the other hand, we have got localized catastrophes, areas where people have not wanted to change, areas where people clung to their old ways instead of allowing the tremendous changing times to assist them into higher levels of expression, then instead of a global shock, what it evokes is global compassion. And such a catastrophe can, in fact, move us up rather than bring us down. And we have, incidentally, folks, before I forget, discussed many of these aspects in a lot more detail than what we're doing here tonight, because I'm primarily trying to answer your questions. But we have discussed it on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you don't know how to get there, you are certainly welcome to go to our website, which will guide you there. But to continue, so when we in fact wanted to ascend, instead of going upwards the way we had in fact descended, the infinite being did a surprise move so that there would not be this global catastrophes and the global cataclysms. We opened the membrane at the edge of the cosmos. The Earth, being the densest of creations with humanity, was at the edge of where the membrane went into what we call deep space. That membrane was opened. How we opened it, I've described in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, the book that catalogues those first days of the Ascension and the extraordinary events that took place as kingdoms combined and worked together, unseen to the eyes of man, but with a huge collaborative effort and an epic drama. So what happened is that the membrane was opened and the earth went into deep space. At that time, when I did all that the Infinite had instructed, all that that mother of all creation had told me to do, multiple craft gathered above the house. We were able to communicate with at least two of the craft, and one of them just kept repeating, "Why are you taking us off the edge of space? We're all going to fall off the edge of space." What they did not know is that the Infinite Mother had in fact prepared a pathway. And this pathway was a massive, how can we put it? Well, you know, if you think of United Airways, they say they fly the friendly skies, but they fly the pathways through the skies. Well, we will explain to you in just a few minutes how that happens as well in deep space. But let's have another commercial break and we'll be right back.
Elmine is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmine as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmine on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. Log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, welcome back. When you stand between two mirrors, you see yourself going into eternity in front of you, and in fact, if you look over your shoulders backwards, you'll see the same. In this exact way, the Infinite Mother opened a pathway through what was empty space at that time by placing aspects of herself, reflected parts of herself, in the mirror of space. And that created a pathway for the earth to ascend. And a prophecy was fulfilled that I really didn't even understand myself what was coming out of my mouth. But for many years before, I had said that the earth had everyone's karma on her shoulders. And because of this self-sacrificing and loving role that she has played, that she will become the bride leading the bridal procession home. This is exactly what happened. The earth started to leave her position in space. But what was kept in place around the earth is a hologram, meaning it's a kind of picture that reflects to us a sky that really is no longer the way we think it is. But this ascension took place, and by 2012, a massive change was made. Huge cycles of life, trillions of years long, were closed off, and we entered a whole new time period. The history of that cycle is described in my book, The Gift of the Unicorns. And the second part of it is called the Gift of the Cycles. And the Gift of the Cycles is, in fact, something that I took verbatim dictation from a group of beings that the Infinite told me to contact because they had the history of the Earth and how she originated in other parts of space, and that she was not native to this stellar system that we think that we're in. And so we actually have come from very far away, and the reason why humanity has become the archetype of the cosmos. All of those things are part of the history of the cosmos in this huge cycle that ended on 2012, that, as we explained during our first two segments, ended in October of 2005. Time has sped up ever since. We are no longer functioning from the calendar we think we are. In fact, I had a being that I was good friends with for many years and have, of course, not seen for some years, but he did come during 2005 because I was perplexed about the fact that the beings that I spoke to in the hidden realms were telling me that we weren't on the same calendar. They were saying we're now in 2007, and I said, no, 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 it's 2005. You know, and if I ask them a few months later, no, we're in 2010. And so it became clear to me that something was happening. I grew concerned that we were perhaps splitting in realities. And so I called my friend of that time, Merlin, and I asked him to please tell me what was going on. He indicated to me that he was not good at telepathy the way that others were. He had always called me my little flower. So he produced a little flower. He's very long and skinny with long white hair, and he produced a little flower and handed it to me. And then he produced a clock, and he produced a hammer, and he smashed the clock. I said, okay, time is no longer working the way we think it's working. Is that correct? Yes, he nodded vehemently. He then produced a calendar and placed it on the floor, and then he jumped over the calendar, meaning that we had long passed by the year that that calendar indicated, which was 2005. Since then, I've been able to communicate much more readily and easily and on a day-by-day basis. In fact, my life is spent as much in other realms at this point as it is in this realm. And I spend about 6 hours average a day in other realms working with the mother. And since August of 2007, I've also been working with the father. So just to explain this, the ascension, my beloved light family, is still happening. It has been going on since 2005, as I've explained. Every day, prophecies change. I can certainly give you prophecies for this moment, but by tomorrow, they may already have changed, because every day, layer upon layer upon layer of work has been done. I have documented them as carefully as I can. Huge changes have taken place in the human body as we have been metamorphosed, as Mother calls it, for superhumanness. In other words, we're going to the next evolutionary stage with more complex expression. But these things I have carefully documented. We hope by the end of summer to have a book that will be just about ready then, called Windows into Eternity, in which I was privileged enough not only to document these things, but also to witness the macrocosmos. And actually, macrocosm is the word. The point is that everything in the cosmos that I have been moving around and learning how to travel through space and time, as Thoth says in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, he was made free of time and space. that happened to me by the end of 2005. So I've been able to travel, but only within the cosmos. The macrocosm lay outside of the cosmos. What that was like, what it entails, how it is formed, was given to me directly by the mother as I sat in silence and wrote the book longhand, Windows into Eternity. It is a fascinating glimpse into the being of the infinite. But it also catalogues these day-by-day changes that have been happening during this ascension. I will promise you this, my brothers and sisters. I said the same things in 2004. The prophecies that are being given about 2005, the dire predictions about the Earth's fate, or comets or planets coming, please do not allow yourself to be put into fear. Those of you that listen to these programs, you are the cream of the crop. You are the major way showers of the planet. It's like that scripture that says if you are the salt of the earth and the salt loses its flavor, then, what have we got? Do not allow yourself. It is a popular theme, especially for those teachers that have a closed body of information that got some truth at some point and really have been riding on the coattails of popular trends ever since. And I do not mean this disrespectfully. There have to be teachers that just teach the known. My work, quite frankly, is with the unknowable. And while we're at it, let's take a little look at that very quickly, and then I want to make sure that we cover this extraordinary event that has happened very recently, which is the return of the Bird tribes and the other Kachina tribes that the natives have long since known about, but we have not. So let's take a look at that soon. But let's just talk about this issue of the known and the unknown and the unknowable, because I am new to you in some instances. I know that I have a beloved family all over the world that, we notify when these shows are on, and they're possibly listening as well. However, to take a look at this, many, many teachers are at the base of the pyramid. They should be. That's where most people reside. And that is a very cozy and comfortable place to be. The masters are easily identifiable. They are either in deep bliss, or they are speaking about things and your heart goes, yes, I knew that. Truisms, beautiful philosophies, but things that have already been known within the realm of man at some time or another, whether it's in the time of Lemuria, whether it's now. Everyone knows that you cannot damage another without damaging the interconnectedness of life and ultimately yourself. For someone to say that, you may need to be reminded of it. However, it's the known. You cannot stay in the known as a student, for that matter, as a teacher. Because if you do, you will stagnate. That's not where growth takes place. That is where a multifacetedness takes place, where one hones your skills, where you make sure that you live what you know, and so forth. It's really the initiate level. Now, one can hardly call masters that have gotten to the point where they live a life of the I am presence, of the bliss, initiates. Well, no. There are stages within the known, but in the grand scheme of things, it is not the end, it is the beginning. And anyone who enters the I am bliss state and stays there will stagnate, because it is the place where there is wide perception and no vitality. So let's continue. Beyond that lies the unknown. Now, what is to man unknown is not unknown to the rest of the cosmos. That is why mystics, shamans, you name it. They've been working with the beings from the hidden realms because they know more. Let's say they want to know if Susie stole the apples. All they need to do is ask them, did Susie steal the apples? They'll say, yes, she stole the apples. You see, that is very limited, however, because it is limited to the ability of the practitioner to ask the right questions. If he assumes that Susie is a thief and says, did Susie take the apples? And a spirit or an angel or whomever he works with, channelers do the same thing, says, yes, Susie took the apples. He could then immediately say, Susie is a thief. But should he have asked, did Susie take the apples because she just wanted to wash them for our consumption, or because she wanted to surprise us and turn them into an apple pie? Or did Susie take the apples because she felt they were slightly not good anymore and she was going to put out oranges instead of a higher quality? You see, we have to ask the right questions. The question asking is so important because in this middle stage where we deal with the unknown, and then we find that we are yet in a closed pool. If we were in a fishbowl before when we were dealing with the known, my brothers and sisters, we are still in a fishbowl. It just got a bit bigger. And the fishbowl is the cosmic knowledge. Whatever can be possibly known in the cosmos, which to man may be the unknown, is nevertheless the known to the rest of the hidden realms that exist. So, we are still not really evolving life within the cosmos, simply our own, where the true growth lies. Because the greater the gifts you give cosmically with the life that you live, the greater the gifts of grace that pour in upon your head. What makes growth happen? Growth happens when the unknown is turned into the known through experience. Now, we may grow because it's unknown to us and we've just learned something new from, say, the angel or whomever speaks through us. As a channel, we've just learned something new. So we've grown. Good. No one else has, because they already knew it. But if we can move through that middle of the pyramid, ending up in the apex at the very top, we in fact start working with the unknowable. We pull in that which has never before been known within the cosmos. And the good thing about this, my brothers and sisters, for all of you that thought you wanted to go home and that home certainly cannot be on this planet, well, you know what? It is right here in the densest of bodies, which is man's, that the unknown and the known meet. And I mean the truly unknown, which is the unknowable. It is man that has that glorious destiny to evolve all life by accessing what has never been accessed before. And so there are a few teachers that teach that, that work with that. I happen to be one of them. So what you will hear on these shows perhaps is way out of mainstream. I certainly hope it is, if mainstream is the known. Because our task is to evolve all life. And I hope you will join me because we do not have any idea the information that will come through during these shows. But let's take a few minutes break, and when we come back, I want to answer some questions that you've asked about this issue of the Kachinas. And we'll go there right after this message.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. We are so happy that you can join us for our first show, and we would like to share with you now some incredibly important information to humankind. This has happened only a few weeks ago. My beloved Light Family, for the longest time, the Hopi, the Navajo, many tribes, especially those of our southwestern region in the United States, have made figurines, they have done special dances, and they have called upon the ones they call the Kachinas. And they have in fact said that those Kachinas are not on this planet. They call them the Kachinas that come from other stars. So some of us have thought, well, they must be referring to some of the Star Brothers that have come and gone over the ages to visit some of the native tribes, and there's plenty of evidence that they've had interaction with them. And we were wrong. I didn't have any idea about this. I was sent up to work with a group of masters in Toronto, and some of them were masters, but we also had about 20 or so brand new people that were present that I certainly hadn't met before. I started to give the messages that Mother wanted me to give. And after the first day of giving them a bit of background and filling everybody in on some of the events that had happened during the preceding weeks, Mother said loudly and clearly, "Bring cameras. For the next 2 days, the Kachina tribes, the return of the bird tribes, some of the flower tribes, there are insect beings. There were 6 species of whales that have come back. Where have they been? Well, we'll talk about that. But Mother said that they would be coming back, and if we bring our cameras, that we would be able to take photographs of them. We are in the process of constructing a website that if you look at in about 2 weeks' time, we'll have it up and running. We've got some of the photos up there, but folks are looking at the wrong things. We need to isolate what it is they need to be looking at, because they're looking at flashlights and, you know, other camera lights and so on that were going off, and those are not what we're actually looking at. We're looking at the, for instance, the large giant walking across the front of the screen, or the little Kachina in front of the camera that somebody is filming, or the gold crown that's forming on one of the master's heads. So it's not always so obvious that people are supposed to be looking at. So we need to circle those things and so on. But the website will be called after the book in which we also have color photography of, for instance, an incredible fairy right in front of my face that we were able to capture on camera. And we have them in color photographs. And the book is called, the same as the website, Aruba Sirena. A-R-U-B-A, Aruba, and then Sirena, all one word, F for Fred, I-R-I-N-A, Aruba Sirena. The book is called Aruba Sirena, Book of Fairy Magic, but Aruba Sirena is also the name of the website. And, you know, please understand we're still in very much in the process of constructing it. So we have taken hundreds of photographs interdimensionally. You will see that the masters in the class become completely transparent. You will see their feet vanishing. You will see the light changing from red to orange to yellow, and that's moving up in overtones. We we were able to film some of the jewels for Mother's Crown, just like we did in November of 2006, when for 1 week the fairies let me into their world to film interdimensionally. And they too were coming back in droves to the Earth from other planetary system, bringing with them some of Mother's jewels. We were able to photograph Mother's crown, and it seems to be getting clearer and clearer and clearer in every book as the reality of the reign of peace on Earth comes closer. So, you know, I recently had to leave for 2 weeks to South Africa, but I chose these two, I chose 25 of them just very rapidly. Haven't had the time to properly isolate the things on them, but if you look very carefully and not at the obvious, you will find what it is we were trying to show you that we were able to photograph. So, the Kachina tribes, what are they? According to them, they were only to return when the realms of innocence were yet again on earth, when purity and innocence were established. What that meant was that duality and polarity had to come to an end. The Infinite Mother had for months, layer by layer by layer, worked on creating unity where there was division, oneness where things had been split. Duality served a vital purpose, but it was time for it to end. And so, love and light have interconnectedly become entwined. Many things that were linear, where movement was taking place linear in a relay form of information, such as the way sound travels, the way light travels. Those things have been changed everywhere. Humanity still believes things to be a certain way, and so in some instances they are still keeping those things looking as though they are the same. But the reality of it is different. And so linear relay of information created polarity. It also created linear time. What is innocence? Innocence is the total relinquishing of resistance to life. Thoughts arise as resistance to life. And thoughts pull us out of the moment into the next or the one before. So it is in the silence of the mind, living from heart, with total surrender to life, that we are in innocence. You can see, therefore, that the getting rid of linear time was vitally important. A huge event happened in 2006 when there was a large polar reversal in the cosmos. Many factors that we take for granted as light workers completely altered. And at that time, Mother instructed me I absolutely had to finish through the months September, October, November, and by the 1st of December, proofread, typeset, illustrations in place. I had to have a book in the printers called Opening the Doors. Sorry, that's not the one. The Ring of Truth. The Ring of Truth gives you the changing laws in the cosmos. At that time, it was said that linear time is done away. The reason for that was that awareness no longer moved. The Toltec way, the way of the Nagual, which is the mysticism that has been very much part of my life until Mother called me on this journey, but it has served me well even then. The Nagwals, who are the leaders of this mystical path, if you will, knew only one thing about awareness. It moved. They studied awareness in great detail. At the very beginning of 2005, I was able to map out after years of studying it, movements of awareness that they hadn't picked up before. But they had been studying it, moving back and forth between realms. The movement of awareness across space is what constituted linear time. But in August of 2006, for reasons that we'll explain another time, the awareness stopped moving altogether. The many spirals of awareness shattered into tiny bits and spread across the cosmos, causing a huge difference in how growth takes place. It is so much easier now. And as a result, Mother at that time said, linear time has ceased. But it hadn't. So innocence was yet not established. The Kachinas could still not come back. But why was it not established? Because wherever something moved linearly, it still formed a type of linear time. And like the United Airways, where their jets move through space, but they're all on designated routes so that the airplane in front can signal the one behind that it's, you know, there's a bump, please tell the people to put their seatbelts on and things like that. There have pathways through the sky. As long as the cosmos on its journey of ascension moved along pathways through the sky, there was still linear time. As long as polarity, the pulsation that is an absolute necessity for all life, but it now takes place differently, but as long as it pulsed linearly between the positive pole of existence and the negative pole of existence in a very separative way, there was linear time. So many layers of things moving linearly. The way that it moves through the nervous system, from synapse to synapse along the nervous pathways. The neural pathways themselves create linear time within the body. Everything has had to be changed, from the microcosmic level all the way to the macrocosmic level, to the movement of the cosmos itself. And as this was done day by day by day over many months of time, finally, at the end of February, almost all, because there were one or two more places where that had to be done, almost all places where there was linear relay of information causing linear time and the loss of innocence was done away. Polarity is where something was put aside, like the left and right brain. Instead of working as one field, they worked separately. That sort of thing is called polarity. It's duality. Duality was established for the purpose, during descension, of examining the details of existence, separating the threads of the tapestry till you forget what the picture is about. In fact, you're looking at the fibers of every thread. That is the separation of the threads. That's duality. The tapestry was put back together. Where have the Kachinas been all this time waiting for this to be totally completed? Well, in a planet that was dark, in the area of the Pleiades, and one also that was dark in the Arcturus star system. These dark planets started to light up in March, and gradually they have been lit up, and now they should be visible. I don't know if they would be visible to us because our sky is not what it seems. But now they are to the rest of existence. It is from those two planets that many of them came. And also from a very mysterious thing that I had seen during my travels. I must say I was completely unaware of those two planets, but I did see that there was a ring in the star system of Sirius that was not lit. No sunlight was on it. and it was a ring, but it looked like solid ground. It looked like a planetary ring, but without a center. Yes, there was life, and some of the whale species have come back from there. I do not know if they're only in the etheric realms or if they're in the physical. We were able to film these beings, but not on the physical level. We had to, as a group, move up several layers of overtones to be able to catch them on our camera. So I don't know if these whales are at a slightly higher level, and as we continue to ascend, whether we will in fact then join them, and suddenly one day they will show up. So I know that more and more species thought to be extinct are in fact showing up. And interestingly enough, every time I hear of one of those, and they're usually my class members that bring it to my attention, those are one of the ones that we had to draw on those large rings when the ascension process started. In other words, we brought them with us. So we have had bird tribes come in, some of them huge beings, some of them 7 foot tall. We have had flower-like beings show up. They showed up in one of my classes prior to this event in Toronto. But, you know, before that, I had never seen them. And they came in as well. The class members themselves, the masters and the new students, started to speak in tongues. And they were able to communicate with these beings because they were their languages. And we were able to take their photographs. It is an extraordinary event, my brothers and sisters, and we are very fortunate to live in these times. There are no more huge, scary things in our future. We are entering a stage of light day by day, and as light workers, our contribution is not in what we do. It is in who we are. And if you want to help with this massive ascension process, do not hide from anything within your being. Bring it into the light, examine it, get its perceptions, and its emotions will release. Your greatest gift, your overcomings. My name is Almin, and it's been a delight to answer your questions this hour. If you have some, email it to us, and we will try and work it in, even though we have set agendas. We'll try and sneak in at least one or two each time. Thank you for joining me.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almin. Please join us again next week.